Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to On the Beans List, a podcast that celebrates the art of conversation with your host, Dean Latticer.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, George, for that wonderful intro. I'm Dean Latticer, and you're on the Dean's List, the podcast that celebrates the art of conversation, and I have a great one here today. A man who's used to asking the questions. Well, we get to turn the table on him. Vinny Rico, he is host of the Sunday show here on Hear It Nation, where we're making our debut with this show. We're going to talk about his experience and insights in the local music scene, share some memories, and talk about what's right and wrong with the business today. So let's jump into it. The man, the legend himself. Hey, Vinny, how's it going?
Hey, West Coast, what's happening, Dean?
Hey, you know, and let's get the plug out of the way here. You're also a member of the team here at Hear It Nation. Tell us a little bit about your show, because you have the pulse, I believe, of the local and the independent music scene here in the metro area, and I think it comes from your heart. You love music, and I, and listening to some of your broadcasts, it's like, wow, this guy leads with his heart because he does the music. He loves helping everybody get to that next level, and I think that's fantastic. So tell us a little bit about your show.
Okay, Dane, my show is called Vinny Rico Show, and I'm on Sundays, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Let me ask you something. Are you in Detroit or are you in California?
Yes, I am. I'm sitting here in beautiful downtown Auburn Hills, actually. I'm about a mile south of the Palace, which is
over
the years. And so,
when I dialed the number, it said California. Yep.
Well, we use a service here which allows me the ability to record these things cleanly. I mean, you get guests in the studio.
Nice.
You have a great setup there. We're trying to do this on a budget here, so all I've got is a little mixer here and two guys talking on the phone old times.
Okay. Good.
So tell us a little bit more about your show. How long have you been part of Hear It Nation?
I am actually very new at Hear It Nation. I've been doing internet radio to probably about 8 or 9 years.
Wow.
So a long time ago, about 8 years ago, they really didn't have a lot of internet shows, you know what I mean? But I was lucky enough to be brought in really early, a buddy of mine's show, and then he stopped and I started. They offered me a show and I've been doing it ever since. I took a 2-year break, and then Tim and Todd from Hear It Nation, we started talking, and I wanted to jump in again. You know what I mean?
So here I am. I've been involved with two podcast projects prior to this, and so I understand. You have to kind of harvest the field, and then you got to let it grow back, because that's where your enthusiasm and that's where your interests lie on it.
Right.
Yes, and you focus on music, and pretty much here in the southeastern Michigan music scene. But I'm sure you probably talk to national touring acts if you can get them, or any great people who are making their music and expressing themselves.
Well, my first interview, the first interview I ever did, I wasn't familiar with radio or anything.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine came over, and we called Johnny Five and Piggy D. That was my first interview. They are actually from Rob Zombie's band. And they were here, I think they were at the Palace or DTE. And that's the first interview I ever did with those two guys.
Yeah, that's Ed Elder.
So, it went all right. I mean, didn't go that good, but it went all right. And I was hooked, man. It's like being on stage. I'm a former artist. I was an artist for about 20 years, a rock and roll band singer. And then I was a promoter for about 15 years in and around the metro area, downtown, uptown, everywhere. And I landed in the radio seat, and I'm very happy with the job. You know what I mean? I love it.
Well, you know what? You've walked a great walk there as an artist, as a promoter, and now as an advocate for music. And I think that's important.
Right.
We need more people like you, like yourself, stepping up to the plate.
Well, thank you.
Let's just take those three prongs of your career. You, tell me, wax a little poetic here. Tell me about your band. What was those days like?
Those days were like, well, I was probably 13 or 14 when I first started playing in front of people, you know, at the neighborhood, like Recreation Hall. We used to get up there and jam, play Alice Cooper songs. You know, we were kids, man. We were little kids. And it's the same story as a lot of these rappers these days. I mean, they start on the street corners, man. And I started down the street from my house on a street corner at Recreation Plant. So it's the same mode for all the artists that are doing music, I'm pretty sure, unless you're really lucky and you're just a superstar automatically. You know what I mean? And that doesn't happen too often.
Nope. What's the old saying? It takes 10 years to be an overnight sensation.
Oh, my God. Yeah, maybe about 20, maybe about 30 now. I don't know. It's changed a lot over my lifetime. I mean, I'm up there. I'm like 50. So, and I've been doing this ever since I was probably 12 or 13. And I have never stopped, except for the 2 years that I took off a couple of years ago.
Well, tell me, you've seen this industry as a performer, promoter, and now advocate.
Right.
What's the biggest in that timetable? What's the biggest changes you've seen in the music business?
The biggest one that I can think of right off the top of my head right now is the artist's inability to make money. I mean, there's a lot of artists now. And it's all when the internet came around, you know, and I ain't got nothing against the internet. I mean, you know, Jesus Christ, I'm on an internet radio station. But before when I was little, you could buy an album and play it on your record player. And then it got a little crazy because the cassette tapes came out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, oh, wow, you still got to hold it in your hand. It was, you know, sort of different, not too complicated. And it was easy to record on cassettes. You plugged in the mic and hit record. But ever since the internet came around and downloading music, man, that flipped the switch, like, completely on everybody, I think. You know, everybody from the artist to the record company and back. And the DJs, actually, too. Yeah, I think that everybody's going
to change monster, so to speak.
Absolutely. It's a whole new game, man. Whole new game, and it's changing every year. Hard to keep up. This is what I see from my eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, all too well.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that's
what
important, that long-tail approach, as they talk about in technology. You've been there.
Right.
You've been there through several incarnates.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that
that
people understand, you know, some, a bunch of 14, 15-year-olds getting their garage band together, you know. They didn't make the mold. And that's the thing that's kind of nice about it, is that we've got the ability to stand on the shoulders of folks like yourself who have come before us.
Yeah.
Tell me, I think one of the things, when did you start your first band? How long ago was that? You know.
Oh, my God, bro, probably, a long time ago, man. I don't want to say any years. But I was probably 13 years old on stage.
Okay.
13.
So
playing neighborhoods, and I was, when I was 16 years old, I was playing at the bars because they'd always want to check my ID And the kids in my band were younger than me. You know, they were like 14. We got our equipment confiscated in Canada because they found out the guitar player was 16 years old and the drinking age is 18. Yeah, they wanted to throw us in jail. They took all our equipment.
Wow.
Long time ago. Yeah, in the 70s, man. 70s were pretty crazy, time.
Oh, I was there. I remember them. I think I'm half a lap older than you are there.
Oh, tell me. I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, we can swap driver's license, and I'll show you. Let's look back, and then we can look forward on it. As somebody who's had the finger on the local music scene and the pulse, tell me, who are the artists that you really felt were going to break out or take it to the next level and maybe didn't get the deal or didn't get the exposure or maybe politics imploded
through? Gene, there's so many. I mean,
tell us some of the ones that you said, man, those guys are going to do it, and it just didn't happen. Anybody come to mind when I say that immediately?
So one thing that came to mind is I was in downtown Mount Clemens about maybe 15 years ago, went to a house party, you know, good old nice house party, go down the basement. There was a DJ there spinning, and I looked at my buddy. I started laughing. I go, this fucking kid ain't never going to be nothing. And it turned out to be Kid Rock. Oh, yeah, it turned out to be Kid Rock, bro. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yep. I went to his house about maybe 5-6 years ago. I think it was about 6-7 years ago. I went to his house, and we were talking about that. And he didn't quite remember me because, you know, I change over the years. But we had a big fucking laugh. We had a big laugh. Yeah.
What do you think about all that controversy about him playing opening week at the Little Caesars Arena?
I don't think there was anybody else that could have opened the stadium as good as he could. I really don't. I had two guests on my show last week. Yeah, last week, Joe DiFilippi and John Green. And when they were protesting, these guys are big into anti-bullying in and around the Detroit area. And they were the bike blockers. You know, they called a bunch of bikers to block the protesters to get, you know, put a line of bikes in between the protesters and the stadium. So they were on my show last week talking about it. I didn't get a chance to go see Kid Rock this year, but my niece did. She came over yesterday and showed me a lot of video. And this guy's like tremendous, man. He puts on a great show. Did you happen to see it?
No, unfortunately, duty called. So I was among the working class on that. And that is the reports that, again, that he brought his A game on there. One of the things about, because you've been so, had these three roles here in the scene, one of the things that I find is, yes, you have bands from, say, Chicago, or you have bands from Buffalo, or bands from New Orleans, but you just don't have that scene, that wave after wave of performers. You don't have, and they call they call Nashville Music City. Well, people have to go there. You know, it's kind of that magnet destination. What is it you think about Detroit? What is in our DNA as an area that produces, whether it's the soul, the funk, the rap, the rockers? What is it that makes this place such a fertile place for music?
Well, I think Detroit is, when we were coming up and we were watching Kiss, Foghat, and Aerosmith, they never really had Aerosmith had a really good show. But Kiss has a phenomenal show, of course. But like Foghat, they didn't have a show. But I liked them, but I liked Kiss a whole lot better. So I think when you put them side to side, people just up there jamming, they're really good. They're real good. But you want that eye candy, too, with it. You know, you want the flashy clothes. You want the lights. I mean, sometimes you want the quiet rock, and sometimes you want to go bust out and go nuts. And that's what my band used to do. I mean, I used to change my clothes like four times, you know, four different sets at a bar. I'd come out with something different on every time. So that was just our style. It was Detroit style, you know. Detroit's a hell of a place, bro.
It is. It is.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Tell me, if just looking back, if you had to make a Mount Rushmore, the four people of Detroit music that you say, okay, you know, there's a lot of people to choose from. We've had a glorious legacy here. Yeah, but okay, I'll let you off the hook if you just nominate a couple of names. Who would you put on your Mount Rushmore?
My Mount Rushmore. Well, I mean, is it any genre are you asking me, or just rap,
anybody,
or just rock?
Go the way you want to go with it.
Right. Now I know how my guests feel when I ask them this question. They must hate it. But my freaking Mount Rushmore would have to be Alice Cooper.
Okay.
God, I gotta see Marvin Gaye.
Okay.
Oh God, bro. Alice Cooper, Marvin Gaye, Eminem.
Okay.
Yeah. And God, I don't know. I'm gonna leave the last seat open.
I don't wanna put you on the spot.
I'm gonna leave the last seat open so anybody could take it. You know what I mean?
yeah. Well, there's so many who could. There's so many who
there's
could.
There's tons, man.
Yes.
There's some people there's some people that I know that are just as good as Kid Rock and Eminem. There's a lot of kids coming up now, man, youngins, man. These guys are freaking nuts. I got a guy on my show this Sunday. He's a new up and coming, I would say. I heard his music. He's really a dope rapper.
What's his name?
His name is Mark Kovacs,
okay.
And he just did his first CD, and we're going to have it Sunday on the show, and he's going to be in studio. So, I mean, there's so many, man. Like you said, Detroit, it's like a huge melting pot. I mean, huge. Now, people like Jack White and those guys that make it from here, and they go and live in Tennessee. Well, they go to Nashville because that's where all the music is. That's where all the recording artists are. I mean, top dogs, man. Country, Western, all that stuff. Get the Grand Ole Opry's down there, you know? So,
right.
I mean, I'm into every kind of genre of music there is. I don't just limit myself to rap artists or rock and roll bands. I want to do anything that's interesting. That's my tip right now, you know. That's what I'm feeling right now. Now, who knows what's going to happen.
I hear the energy and passion in your voice for it, too.
Yeah, I'm always like this, bro. Yep, I'm always like this.
That's what I was briefed that you have. You have only one. It's kind of like on and then 11.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, my God, who told you that? You don't have to tell me. I know who told
you
that.
Oh, my God, told
me
this.
Yeah. Oh, well. Hey, you know what? It's I'm doing what I love, man. So it's there's no, you know, I get tired a lot. I can't do a lot of things that I used to do, I mean, in a row. I mean, like, I used to go out every night of the week. Now I go out maybe once every 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Once every month. So in that aspect, it's slowed down. But, yeah, I get to pick and choose now, man. You know? I paid my dues. I feel in my heart I paid my dues, man. I've been doing this a long time, man.
I want you to pick, because you've seen, and we've had a great history of venues. I'm just down the street from one that's closing, unfortunately. And
right,
you mentioned
Palace.
You mentioned You know, Mount Clemens. I think, you know.
Right.
Tell me your favorite venues. Give me your shopping list, both favorite venues past, let's remember the good ones, and, you know, if I said, hey, we're going to put this concert in a place, where should I put it? Give me the place that you like to go now to see a live music.
Well, let me see. I just went to a show last week, speaking of Mount Clemens. I mean, I haven't hung around Mount Clemens in a couple of years. But now, since I'm on here at Nation again, you know, I got a radio show. Now I'm starting to branch out and go out a little bit more. I went to the Emerald Theater in downtown Mount Clemens. I mean, did you ever hear of that venue? Yeah,
oh, yes.
Okay.
My daughter used to play
there
in the old days, and, you know, it was nice to see that they got rescued and they put a few bucks into it. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. I worked there. Right. I worked there for about 8 years before they remodeled it, So, and the band that played there last week was Critical Bill, a buddy of mine, Power Dice's band. And it was like a reunion of everybody that used to go to the Emerald. I mean, it was really kick-ass. I chose a good concert to go to on my night out last week. Because a lot of times it doesn't happen like that. You go to some of these venues, and there's just, I mean, it's not the time of year to go to a club to hear a band because everybody's outside on their boats, man. It's Michigan. You got to wait till the wintertime, you know. Wintertime, then you'll pack a few people in the club. Yeah. But my favorite,
what's your all-time favorite place? Looking back on it, is there one place that
Cobo Hall. I used to go to concerts probably 3 or 4 times a week in high school. It's Cobo Hall. Everybody used to go there. Yeah, that's my fondest memories. Joe Louis, I've been to a few times, but not a lot. I don't even want to go to a concert or a club if I can't get like seating close, you know. I don't care about payment. I'll pay for the ticket. But I need to be up there, man, because I've already stood in the trenches for like 30, 40 years, bro. I'm done doing that. You know? And people are obliged to do that. People are obliged to do that, too. They like me because I was a straight shooter my whole life, bro. You know, I never screwed anybody over. Never. But
One of my concerns is I see two tiers of the music business, and it's been that way. It has, but you see the Live Nations and the AEGs, and they're booking their stuff, and then you see
independent
promoters like Fusion Shows or people like the folks out at the Crowfoot booking local music, and it just seems like, but I just don't see enough entry-level venues. You mentioned house parties. I just don't see enough places where somebody can just, you know, get in front of a room of 50 people or get in front of a room full of, you know, 100 people and just, hey, go up, show up, and show you what I got.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's what we used to do. That's exactly what I used to do in my band. But I know you're absolutely right. It's not there anymore. It isn't. It's hit or miss, and it's usually a miss. And I think the reason that that's happening is because of the Internet, man, because these kids are playing games on the Internet. You know what? I'll sit in my room and watch TV, and I'll look at the clock, and it's like 5 hours later, and I'm like, can I have watched Law and Order for 5 hours? You know what I mean? It's like it mesmerizes you, and so does a computer screen. I mean, that's what I think. I don't even know what's going on in these kids' heads. I don't know. I mean, I got a 23-year-old that lives here at my house with me, and he's into techno. He does The Forest, the concert, that Forest. He does the downtown one, what is it, the Techno Fest. What do they call now, DMT or... Yeah,
it seems like every year they rebrand it.
And I'll tell you what, bro, the places he goes to are fucking packed. They're packed.
They are.
He goes to concerts. Yeah. He goes to concerts at St. Andrews, and there's 200-300 people there, but it's techno. Yeah, I like techno, but I don't know a lot about it, you know.
It's kind of like spicy food. I like a kiss of spicy,
yeah.
But 6-7 Alarms yeah. just doesn't do it for me. And I,
yeah.
and I understand.
Yeah, it's. I like it, though. I like it. But
mm-hmm.
that's what it is now. It's a world of rap and techno. Techno is for the beach, and they
mm-hmm.
rap over the beach. I mean, I don't have nothing against it. I love the music. But I just wish there was more genres of music available besides jazz. I mean, you got the old rock and roll bands that play around here, Rockstar, my friends in. They're pretty good. They play all the, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, old rock and roll, dress up, you know,
mm-hmm.
in spandex and shit. It's just good old music. But you don't see that shit no more, you know. You don't see
You don't see a stylized spandex, but Halloween's coming up.
No, thank God. No, thank God.
I
didn't mean I liked it. I didn't mean I liked it.
But I think the important thing is that, I mean, rock and roll is no longer a young man's music. It has layers. It has levels. You look at guys like, you know, you look at guys like us, and, you know, it's not
yeah,
that
I'm
saying 70s, 80s was better or worse. It was different. And even
right.
you find stuff, if you go decade by decade, you just find things that really work. And, you know, great music doesn't know a year or doesn't know a movement or stuff like that because, you know,
Primo's right.
To the top and things like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me,
yeah.
I mean, I because we both have, you know, younger kids, I think that allows us to plug into the music scene a little more freely than what happens
right.
oftentimes. Oftentimes, I think what happens is that, you know, to go out and find it, and I think it finds you. I really do believe that now, is that it's not
yeah,
the old
that's,
days.
That's wisdom, bro. That's wisdom. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I agree 100% with you. You can explore more. You look and see what your kid's doing. You know, you're going to listen to the music because they're playing it at the house. So, yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, he loves the music, and that's cool. You know, he's a good kid. Doesn't take drugs, you know.
That's good.
Knock on wood. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I lived. I thought I was calling California
no.
at first because you're exchanging the California number. But I was going to say I wanted to shout out. I used to work in L.A. at the Starwood.
Oh,
have you ever heard
really?
of the club, the Starwood? Yeah, I used to
yeah.
work there. I worked that place
that.
Until it. Yeah, until it closed. I worked there until it caught on fire. I was in the fire.
How long were you out in L.A.?
3 years. I lived at the Starwood for 3 years, bro. I lived in Hollywood. Yeah, yeah. And that's right when rock and roll was fucking banging, you know. It was really cool in L.A. I mean.
Tell us some of the acts you got to see out there.
I seen Deborah Harry. I bought her a fucking beer at the Viper Lounge. At the Viper
so
Lounge,
we're,
yeah,
so
you know,
we're
Johnny
talking
Depp's
like,
old
late
bar. 70s.
Are we talking like late 70s there?
Gee, yeah, no, early 70s. Bro, I didn't even know it was her. I was, you know, just fucking around, and I went in there, and it was daytime. My niece, Beth McDonald, is a movie producer in LA.
Okay.
But she wasn't at that time, but she was there when I was there. She was doing interviews for jobs. She went to the Viper Room to get a job, and I stood outside in the bar area, and she went in the back room with the guy, and there was a chick at the end of the bar while they were going to play there. She was talking to the guy first, so I automatically went right next to her. I go, can I get you a beer? And she's like, oh, yeah, yeah, you don't have to. I go, no, I don't want it. So I go, what's your name? My name's Debbie. Okay. Well, we talked for about half hour, just about nothing, not about music, not about nothing, because I didn't know who it was. My niece came walking out, and she looked at me like with really big eyes, and she's like, Uncle, you ready? And I'm like, yeah. So we took off, and my niece goes, well, what did Debbie have? I go, why, do you know her? She looks at me, and she goes, Uncle, that was Deborah Harry. I go, what? I go, a blondie? She goes, yeah. I go, and shit me, and I started freaking out. I was freaking out, man. I mean, that's how odd it is in California. Crazy. I mean, I have never been
that's
out of Detroit. I sold all my stuff, and me and my wife moved out to L.A. We sold all our stuff and moved. And it wasn't all that was offered to me when I was in Detroit. I just wanted to go out to L.A. And I had a job. But, you know, you just you live and learn. I had a great old time out there. I wouldn't change it for the world. We were a little poor out there for a while, but...
Well, the cost of living's kind of stiff out there.
Oh, real stiff, man. Wow, yeah. It was expensive back then. I can't even imagine it, what it is now. I'm supposed to go back there in about a couple months. I'm going to wait till it gets cold, and then I'm going to go visit my niece. So, yeah.
Go and thaw on there. In the time we have, you know, and I'd love to get a lot of stories, but there's one I heard you sharing about Eminem and the limo. I want you to – I think that's a classic rock and roll story. Can you share that story for the best?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I was a promoter, and Eminem was – this is when Eminem was called actually M&M, like the candy. Did you know that his name was M&M's, like the candy, instead of E-M-I-N-E-M? Okay. Well, this was when he still had that name. He was just starting to pop, man. He was winning. He was winning all the rap Olympics and all that shit way back then. And I got called up, and the guy asked me, hey, do you want to work a party? You got to work the door. You got to take the money at the door, take the tickets, let them in. It's a hall party, an old-fashioned Detroit hall party. And there is, I haven't been to one of those in a long time at this time. So I'm like, sure. Was it paid? Tell me what it paid. So I got the flyer. I seen the flyer somehow. I went to a club, and I seen the flyer. And I go, huh, Taj Mahal, Hamtramck, that's the date that I'm working at that place. And it said guest appearance by Eminem. And I go, holy shit, that guy's going to be there and I'm working there. So I get there and, you know, talk to the guys there, and they did their thing on the inside. There's a little vestibule. I stayed by the door. It was a big steel door. Somebody knocked on it, and I fling it open, grab the cash and let him in. And I'm thinking, I'm looking in there, and then I started talking to people, and I'm like, where's Eminem, where's this guy? Oh, he's not here yet, okay, all right. So I'm at the door. It's about 2 in the morning, man. I want to go home, right? And these guys are doing those balloons, you know, with those, you put the stuff in the balloons and suck it down. What is that, helium or something?
Nitrous. Well, what was it?
Nitrous, that's what it is. Nitrous. And they're doing that shit.
I just blew my squeaky clean image here.
It was nitrous. And I'm like, what does that shit do to these kids? I never seen it before. Anyways, somebody knocks at the door, and I flung it open. And there's a guy in a fucking limo uniform, and he goes to there's a limo out there. I go, who the fuck is this? You know, and they open the door, and fucking Eminem walks out. I shook his hand. He walked in. He circled the whole fucking, it wasn't a real big place, but it was a nice size place. He came in, he walked all around the walls like a fucking rat. He walked along the walls and gave me $5 on his way out, hopped in a limo and split. I gave him the money too. And then I just sat and partied the rest of the night. I got home probably about 5 in the morning that morning. But I had a really good time. And then now look at Eminem now. I was in A file with him. Hell yeah. I mean, he didn't remember me, of course, because, man, you know, these guys meet so many freaking people.
Oh, I'm sure it's a blur.
How many people are going to go up to Eminem and go, hey, remember me? I was at your show and, you know, 5 years ago, sitting in the 32nd row. I mean, people actually do think that these people are going to remember them.
It is a different business. You know, I remember one time, this is a quick story. I remember when I was living in Grand Rapids, I wound up picking a friend of mine who was subbing for one of the early evening disc jockeys, and they said, I need you to run me somewhere. So we ran up to the local hot tub place, and there was the Tubes.
Right.
You know, Fee and Bill Spooner.
Hey, Wables. Oh, you're kidding, dude. I love those guys. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Tubes.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I always I tell that story only because it was one day I did something spontaneous. And it worked out so incredible.
Yeah.
So I got to, you know, sit there in hot tubs and drink Michelob and hang out with the Tubes and steal a girl away from Bill Spooner. That's another story.
right. I got you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's, I found myself in crazy situations. Yeah. I like doing that. I'm used to it now. It's fun.
Yes. Well, in the time remaining, wise one, I want you to just kind of, you know, help me put a big red bow on this, because I know we could go for another hour, but I got to mind the clock here.
Yeah, sure.
You're an internet radio guy. You know you've got these things.
Right on.
Leave us with a little piece of wisdom here, because, you've seen so much, you've done so much. Like I said, put a bow around it for us.
Well, I'll tell you, man. If you're in this business, I mean, whether it be broadcasting, whether it be roadie, whether it be musician, artist, anything, if you're in any kind of the entertainment business and you don't have a thick skin, you're going to crash and burn. You can't let anything bother you, because there's a bunch of idiots out there, man, they pass themselves off as something they aren't. There's a lot of those people in the entertainment business. They're wolves, man. They'll eat you. They'll eat you alive, man. And that goes that's even from the 70s, from the 80s, from the 90s. Every decade, I have run into those people, so I know they're still around. somebody in the entertainment business that wants to get in the entertainment business, if they're coy and not loud, I mean, you got to learn to be. If you want something bad, you're going to do it. Hey, Dean, can I shout out to my new co-host,
Product from
the D?
Sure, of course.
I want to say thank you to Tim and Todd. And I just got a new co-host last week, Product from the D. He's a great guy. Shout out to him, and we got some big things coming up, Dean. Listen,
well,
I want you to keep in touch.
Remind us one more time about your show.
Remind
us one more time.
Okay.
Plug it away.
I'm on Hear It Nation on Sundays, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 7, followed by Sketch Simpson and Open Season. There's a 4-hour block. He's my, he follows me on Sundays. I want to give him a shout out. And
quality information and entertainment there, and appointment listening, as we like to say, appointment listening.
Right. It's all my shows all underground. The M3 show that Tim's got, it's a talk show. You know, we have every aspect of entertainment on one station now. When I first got there was only 3 shows. Now we're building. You know what I mean? So I'm really excited. If anybody wants to
get on the shelf there for me.
Oh yeah. Oh no. I wanted to ask you. I want you on one of these Sundays. Actually, I will get a hold of you. But I want to tell everybody out there, all your listeners, if they want to get a hold of me, my name on Facebook is Vinny Rico, VinnyRicco. Come and friend me, man. The more the merrier. My Instagram is Rico, RICCO, Vinny, VINNY. And that's it, man. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Dean.
Oh, no, thank you. It was great to rock and roll and remember with you. And there's only one thing left for me to say, and that Vinnie Rico, you are on the Dean's List.
Thank you,
sir. And that's
sir.
Where I got to leave it. Thank you,
all
my
right,
friend.
All right, buddy. Thanks, everybody.
All right, and that's where we're going to leave it for today. Thanks again, special guest Vinnie Rico, launching our episodes here on Hear It Nation. Vinnie is, I encourage you to tune in Sundays for that power block there. All shows back to back, as he was saying. Looking forward, we're going to have a great next show, our upcoming, I'll front tell it here on Hear It Nation. Is Mike Todd. He's one of the co-founders of Hear It Nation. He's going to talk about the services as well as helping people to get the most out of their experience with it. It dovetails nicely with the technology that Vinny was talking about. I'm your host, Dean Lattister. Thanks for listening in to On the Dean's List, the podcast that celebrates the art of conversation. Until next time, this time.